Politics, religion, fortune, privilege, fame, addictive, money, getting richer, power, manipulation. Welcome to the school.
It's time.
Welcome to the school of life. School of life. Sometimes I did it wrong, sometimes I did it right. School of life. No matter how crazy this world may seem.
Witness. Pastor Sam kicked us off last week. Great series. I think the message last week was so perfect. It was the message that you needed to hear to jumpstart this series. If you agree with me, amen. Pastor Sam said a lot last week, but one thing that I think stood out that I want to regurgitate today before we get started is that us as believers, sometimes we will be the only, watch this, I'm going to say it different, God that people will see. Are you calling yourself? No, I'm not calling you or us God, but the Bible says greater is he that is what? Then he then what? So I am a representation of God. That means that the way that I think, the way that I react, the way that I encounter people, if I am called to be a Christian and people identify with this with me, then they're going to identify my behavior with who? God. Well, I don't really want to be with one of them people, or I ain't trying to be down with G-O-D, because y'all people who down with G-O-D, y'all are crazy. Because we are the representation. So it's important that we govern ourselves accordingly and know that what we say, what we do, people associate that with who we serve. Now, I'm not telling anybody that you got to be perfect, because there was only one perfect person, and that was Jesus. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody is subject to this and subject to that and all that type of stuff. So nobody is telling you have to be perfect. But I am forewarning you to bear witness to what you're witnessing. Because you can be a witness for God's glory, or you can be a witness for the dysfunction of the church. It just all depends on how you present yourself. So we have to be careful that. And I endeavor to take us a little deeper today, and I want to talk from the subject, the effective witness. The effective witness. It's not enough to just be a witness, but the witness, it has to be what? Effective. Because when we can effective witness, that means that lives are being changed. That means that people's minds are being renewed. That means literally the work of Jesus Christ is being manifested through who I am and who I'm being in the earth. So it's not enough to be a witness, because a lot of us will be a witness and we'll just be like, hey, Jesus this or Jesus that, or I wouldn't do that and I wouldn't do this, but nah, we're going to really talk about what it means to be an effective witness today. And y'all know what I'm getting ready to do, right? Tell a story. All right. So about 2 weeks ago, I was going to go pick up my oldest nephew to go to the University of Michigan. He went to some camp and was there all week. And I said, you know what? I'll pick you up the day before so we can play the game. He likes playing me in Madden, and I beat him every time. But I digress. So anybody want to play me in Madden, I'm always down for a challenge. I'll give you my game in Cole after service. But anyway, so I go to pick him up. When I pick him up, he comes out the house in doggone pajama pants. Man, oh my God. This made me so upset, is because You don't know where we're going. You don't know who I got in the car. You don't know anything. Why in the world would you come outside in some doggone pajama pants? Then it made me flash back to how I was raised, how my daddy raised me. I can remember that. I can remember if my dad came home from work during the middle of the day and me and my brother was still in the bed asleep, we got a whooping, okay? Yeah, because as a man, we had to get up, you had to take a shower, you had to put your clothes on, you had to get dressed, and you had to be ready and willing to go outside or do anything, not lounging around in some doggone pajama pants. So it made me extremely irritated. But I thought to myself, you know what? We got a different age group of people. You know what I'm saying? We got a different age group of people. These Generation Zs and everything. So I digress. I said, you know what? It's all good. I ain't going to say nothing, Pastor. I'm gonna leave it alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it alone. So we left. We went to my house and chilled out for a little minute. And we got ready to go. And I was looking for him. And I was calling him. And I couldn't find him. You know, he didn't tell me he was leaving or going, but he wasn't in the house. So I go outside to get ready to go, and he's outside in pajama pants at my house. And I stay on a corner house. So anybody that drives by the corner can see right into my backyard. He's outside in my backyard playing in pajama pants. So at that point, Pastor, I lost it. I lost it for two reasons. First reason why I lost it, because why do you have on freaking pajama pants?
Again.
The second reason why I lost it is because when I found out he was playing basketball, I said, EJ, come on, that's it, let's go, right? After that, I probably heard about three or four more bricks. So now I go into the backyard and I firmly tell him, didn't you hear me say it's time to go? Listen, when I say it's time to go, that means you put the ball up. You don't get no extra shots. Y'all know. Come get your butt in this car. And now that I'm in the car and I'm mad, why in the world do you have on pajama pants? You don't know where I was going. Where am I taking you? Who's in the car? His response was, well, all of my clothes, I packed them in a backpack to take them on a trip. So this was all I had.
Oh my.
In that moment, I had to pause. I had to get rid of how I was raised. I had to let go of what was the standard in my house. I had to let all of that stuff go, and I had to say, how can I be an effective witness in this case? I said, okay, well, where are we going? To the mall. I said, go get some shorts. We're going to go to the mall. We're going to get you together. Went to the mall. Got on some clothes, about three pair of pants and about five shirts or whatever. And from this, he said, thank you. And that thank you hit a little different.
Come on, sir.
It hit a little different because he didn't say thank you because I bought him something. He said thank you because I met a need that he had. And what I want to get you to see today is that the world has a need. And if you caught up in how you was raised and how you was brought up and what they used to do and what they do and where you come from, then guess what? Every time you dropping a ball and somebody's need is not getting met because you so high on your horse. I don't care how saved you think you are. Listen, you used to do some stuff, okay? Why do we act like we ain't never did nothing before? Why do we act like we got it all together? Why do we act like that nobody has ever had to correct us before? But we act like just because we saved and we love Jesus that we're so this and we're so that and we're so perfect. And because of that, we're not effective. And the world ain't looking to the church. They looking to life coaches. They looking to life coaches because we won't come down to be an effective witness. Because we won't come down and try to bring them to where we are. But we'd rather be separated. Y'all gonna get me started on something else. Anyway, I'm going to the word. Well, before that. So I want to give you really quick. I want to give you three ways that us as a church, not you personally, me personally, but the church at large has failed to be an effective witness. I want to point this out because some of us do this and we don't realize what we're doing and what we're saying when we're saying it. But, okay, I'm going to give you this. Number one, are you ready? Write this down. The first thing that we're not an effective witness, watch this. Religious folks going to be mad at me, but it's okay. I got enough cousins in the place today, all right? I ain't afraid of you. Number one is we demonize other religions or lifestyles. We demonize other religions or lifestyles. Now, you really tell me that you a preacher and you telling me that we demonize? Yeah, I'm telling you that we demonize. Well, how do we demonize? We demonize because people don't think like us or don't act like us or don't talk like us or don't have the same perspective. And the first thing we tell them is, guess what? You going to hell. You going to hell. Have you ever considered that the reason why you believe what you believe is because of probably where you come from? Now, Jesus is real. He's Lord. Let's not get it twisted. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that all of us live inside of conditions. But if you are living inside of a condition and I feel like I have the answer and the answer is Jesus, how in the world that I'm going to help you see that if I tell you that you're going to hell for what you believe? How am I going to help you see things differently? How am I going to be able to be an effective witness and live before you? Because let's be honest, if somebody tell you that you're going to hell, at that point, you're just going to cut them out. Uh-huh. It's not that what you're saying doesn't have some truth to it. It's that you're going by it the wrong way. And the Bible says that one brother offended is harder to win than a whole entire city. That's the book. We demonize people because they didn't grow up like us, because they didn't go to the church that we went to, because their lifestyles is different. So we try to force correct them by using our words that does not do nothing but beat, kick, stomp, and drop them. But if you want to be an effective witness, you have to learn how to let love lead. I'm not intimidated by you because you think something different than me. I'm not intimidated by you because you have a different belief system than me. But because I know that I am or who I serve is so real, what I can do is I can be your friend and live before you, and I have you changing your mind before you know it. Because I know. I'm reminded, the story is in my mind very vaguely. I remember there was this contest in the Old Testament. The contest was to see, and I'm paraphrasing, telling it in my own words so that you can understand it. My Bible readers, they'll pull up the story or know the story in a minute because I can't think of it. The Holy Spirit just gave me this. But there's this story, there was this contest, and I'm calling it a contest because they wanted to see who God was real. right? And all of a sudden, God calls fire to come down from heaven. And when that fire came down from heaven, they said, whoop, 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 whoop. We got the right one now. But when you demonize people and beat them up for what they think and how they feel and da-da-da-da-da, you can never become of effective witness to that person because you have now offended them. Yeah, move on. The second thing that we do that prohibit us from being an effective witness is we criticize or judge decisions or lifestyles and follow it up with you need to go to church. We paint this picture that is ultimately not true. Because the truth be told, it takes more than one time to come into church and be changed. Furthermore, we are not changed because we come to church. We change because we know Jesus. But we tell people, oh man, you just need to go to church. So then that person says, you know what? I'm going to come to church. And then they come to church and nothing happens. And then what happens? They never come back again. Church is not a one-size-fit-all. It's not the church. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ. So stop inviting people to come to church and invite them to a relationship with a friend that sticks closer than a brother, with somebody that can be a lawyer in a courtroom, with somebody can be a doctor and a waymaker and a... But we're so religious.
Yeah, all you got to do is go to church. You just come to church.
You know what? My question would be, but you go to church. Right? It's religion. Exactly. And finally, this is key. This is big. If you don't get nothing, get this. I'm trying to help us be an effective witness. What we do is we fail to be transparent. We fail to be transparent. And we put on this facade that we're perfect. That we don't have vices. That so in other words, a person thinks that because they got saved and they love God, that all these worldly desires and things is going to go away because they got saved. It worked for him. He's saved. It's not being transparent. The truth is, I love God and trap music. Okay? If you come to the gym with me, I don't need nothing that's going to lay me out and me be slain. I need something that's going to help me pump it up. You know what I'm saying? But we try to present ourselves. And I'm being funny. I say God and trap music. But a lot of us have some things that we still trying to give up. Amen? Let's be real. Let's be transparent. But what we do when we present that we're perfect, people don't connect with that. And then when they find out that the only difference between us and them is that we've accepted the free grace of God, now they offended. Now they turned off. Now they don't want to listen because I thought you was perfect. Or now what you say no longer holds weight because they think you are perfect. Or check this out, counterfeit. Because you mean to tell me how can you be saved? But if we be honest with people, I'm an open book. I tell people all the time, listen, I ain't got it all figured out, friend. Look, I'm on a short bus just like you. The only difference is I'm committed to getting it right. That's why I'm here. I'm just committed to it. I'm committed to it like a bad relationship. I'm just, Lord, I messed up, but guess what? I'm back. If this walk was about perfection, we would have been dead long time ago. It's not about perfection. It's about progression. So maybe my testimony is not that I don't do it no more. It's I don't do it as often as I used to. See, y'all don't want to get healed in here for real. Because we'll present the false advertisement like we got it all figured out. But I'm in need of the same grace that you are in need of. So when we are being an effective witness, ultimately, we have to lead with love. Let me go to my text, Matthew 22. I'm going to read verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees was talking a whole bunch of junk, trying to catch Jesus up and all the other stuff. And Jesus was chill. He was kicking it with them, still chopping it up with them like, y'all crazy, but I'm just going to kick it with y'all anyway. The Pharisees got together, one of them an expert in what? The law. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Tested him with the question, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. 39. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm here to tell you today that the key to being an effective witness is loving your neighbor as yourself. If we can get out of hate and get into love, if we can get out of feeling like we got it all together and get in love, we will be able to be an effective witness to a generation of people that are lost. But because we are not letting love lead, we are more segregated than we've ever been. When the Bible talks about come from among them and be sanctified and separated and all this stuff, it's not talking about that you cannot be connected to people who need your light. Because whenever we really see Jesus teaching and preaching, he's always somewhere amongst the people. But to be around people who got some jacked up attitudes, to be around some people that are lost, to be around some people that are broken, to be around people that's hurt, you got to be willing to love. Love is a superpower. For so God, what? The world that he what? Love is what made him do it. Not because you cute. Love is what made him do it. Not so you can get a doctorate degree. Love is what made him do it, not so that you can get a husband or a wife. It's his love for us. And we're leading with everything other than love. Come on. Let me tell you something about love. Love, number one, is patient. Right. We gotta have patience with people who we are trying to witness to. Help us, help us, help us. We cannot be so irritated and agitated at their presence and their way of thinking. No, we gotta have some patience. This goes without saying, but love is kind. And I feel like as believers, this is where we drop the ball so much so at. Because for the sake of truth, we're willing to damage or belittle another human being. I don't care how true it is. If it ain't said in love, don't say it. How can we be unkind? How can we be mean? First of all, is the presence of God inside of you? If you so irritated and agitated, you need to go somewhere, lay down and pray. Get your spirit right. It's kind. It does not boast. It is not proud. Listen, I know God has done some great and amazing things for you, but there's a time and a place for that. You can't be trying to witness somebody and really you just trying to flex on them. But a lot of us do that because we're not really trying to get them to God. We're just trying to show them that we're better than they are. It's not love. It's not self-seeking. A lot of us will try to bear witness just so that we can say that we witness to somebody. Well, God calls us to be a witness, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you. That's not being effective. I can walk down the street and see a mirror on the wall to say that. Just being a witness so everybody can know in your job, you ain't trying to be effective. And the sad part about that is people recognize real. People know when you're authentic and when you're not authentic. So when you're coming from an unauthentic place, is not being what? Effective. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of doing wrong. I know we're going to struggle with this one. I know we're going to struggle with this one. When the Bible says it keeps no record of doing wrong, it's not saying let people take advantage of you. It's not saying don't have boundaries. But what it is saying is that we are all in need of God's grace and love so we can extend love. I cannot fool with you and still love you. But see, when we're the opposite of that, we don't fool with you and then we go tell everybody how bad you are, how bad you got it, what you did. We scandalizing you, even if it's true. It's not love. So even though you wronged me, I can love you enough to chalk that up to that just happened between me and you. I'm not going to take me as a one size fit all and go tell everybody that this is what you do. No. I'm going to love you through that and say, you know what? You messed up with me and I'm straight. But hey, maybe you'll learn your lesson. Maybe you will get together. But we talk about folks, we put them down, we call other people and make them their enemies and do this and do that, scheming. It's not love. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always preserves. In other words, is that you cannot lose hope for people that you truly love. That don't mean that I'm paying your car note to pay your cell phone bill or messing up my finances to help you, but I'm going to treat you with dignity and respect to know that you still can get it together. But what we do, we so quick in this cancel culture, we just put everybody on the block list. What's so funny is this. You know, God is good. What if God, not even if he blocked you, what if God put the blessing for you in somebody that you blocked? What if the person that's on your block list had has the very information that you need. What if the person on your block list has the answer and the resource to what you need? Y'all gotta stop falling out with people. I don't have to agree with you. I don't even have to like you. But I ain't gotta fall out with you. Because one thing for me, I want blessings to be able to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. But when you got all these block lists, the east may be blocked. The west may be blocked. And so love has to be the key ingredients in how we effective witness to people. So if you want to witness, where is the love? Where is the love? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it in love? How are you going to say it in love? How are you going to operate in love? How are you going to do it? That is the question. And I want to bring us to this point that I wrote down in my notes. And I wrote down, all talk, no action. And if we be honest with ourselves, most of us, this is how we witness. All talk, no action. Oh, Jesus loves you. Oh, I'm praying for you. I will pray for you. We just say all this stuff because it's cute and churchy. But there's no action behind it. But if you want to see somebody come from where they've been, if you want to see somebody delivered, if you want to see somebody set free, if you want to see somebody come into the knowledge of who Christ is, you're going to have to do more than just talk and say stuff. You're going to have some action. One of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible is this one I'm about to go to right here. And I say it's misquoted because a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it too, we take it out of the original context of what it was saying and what it was meaning. When we take this scripture out of context, it's still true. And I think that's why most of us do it. It's still true. Let me show you. Right? James 2:14. Verses 14 through 16. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day and stay warm and eat well, but you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does it do? See, you have faith by itself is nothing unless it produces good deeds. The King James Version would say it like this: faith without works is dead. So a lot of times and it's true, faith, you do need works to back up your faith. You should work, you should put effort forth. But in the original context of the structure, it's not talking about you, it's talking about what you are willing to do for other people. It's not enough for me to tell, it's for me to see that you're hungry and for me to say, hey, God bless you, I love you, and not give you food to eat. It's not enough to see you struggling and going through and not try to provide a solution or help you in a way. In other words, faith without works is what? Dead. The deed behind my faith is dead if I don't come into action. So we all talk, no action. But our faith in God, our faith in Jesus Christ, should produce an action in us that makes us an effective witness. Because I have faith, I'm going to go and I'm about to pull somebody and I'm going to show them that Jesus loves you. Because I have faith, I'm about to get up all in your business, not so I can talk about you, but so I can help you. Faith without works is dead. It's not enough for you to believe and just believe by yourself. You need to take the faith that you have and convert more people into believers. faith without works is dead. It's not enough to see a need and to say, I'm praying for you. It's not enough to see dysfunction and not try to figure out how we can make this all work. That is our part. And what we're doing is we're introducing Christ into that situation. I'm almost done. I got about a few minutes. What I want to give you really quick. Major key, really quick. I see this in my notes. Major key, really quick. Write the place on the screen. An effective witness for Christ can be defined as a person who bears the fruit of the gospel. What do you mean by bear the fruit of the gospel? The gospel gives us love, so that means you're love. Bible tells us to forgive, that means you are forgiving. The Bible tells us to give, that means you are a giver. So we can take this word and see the reflection of ourselves in it. And when you are reflecting the world into your community, into your household, into your family, that is when you become an effective witness. So I got 4 points here real quick that I want to give you to help us to come from the place of being ineffective to effective. And then we're going to get out of here. Amen. First one is that whenever you're trying to be an effective witness, you must ask questions. Yes, sir. You got to ask questions because people don't just think the way that they think and act the way that they act because that's them. No, it's called cause and effect. For everything that each and every one of us do, there's a rhyme or a reason to why we do it. Some things are birthed out of habit. Some things are birthed out of trauma. Some things are birthed out of our lifestyle, meaning like how, where we come from. We poor, we rich. And this makes up some of the things that we do. Well, without asking somebody some questions to figure out where they come from and how they grew up, you cannot be an effective witness to this person because you don't understand where they're coming from. And a lot of us try to just throw Jesus on people without getting an understanding of where they coming from. But you got to take time to understand where people are coming from. I remember a person who I wanted to witness to and everything. And I'm real careful. There's some people who I will just invite right to church because I can kind of tell or I know. But there's some people who have been hurt by the church. There's some people who have the craziest things have happened because guess what? People ain't perfect. And so inviting somebody to church could be inviting them to the memory of what happened to them in church. But that's why you got to ask questions and find out, where you coming from? Where you been? What's your experience? So you can find out how to be effective. But we just slapping Jesus on everybody. He just say, hey, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It worked in the old day. I ain't gonna lie. It did. It worked back then. They just fell in line. But with this generation, it's not gonna work. The second thing is most important I want you to walk away with is be authentic. Be authentic. Don't put on a facade like you don't know what's going on. Like you don't like Real Housewives of Atlanta. That drama doesn't entertain you. But when we act like we have it all together and we can't be authentic with people, people look for a connection. Everything about people is a connection. Oh, we like the same thing. Or, oh, we have the same birthday. Well, ain't nobody perfect, not even you. So when you're presenting something with perfect, nobody is going to be able to connect with you because nobody is perfect. See, that be the problem sometimes, too, with men and women on the dating scene. You just acting like you got it all together, and that's why you can't make a connection because you're presenting something that's what? Perfect. And who's perfect? So who's going to connect with you? Uh-oh. Be authentic. Be transparent. You can tell people about yourself. You can be real with people and tell them the areas that God is working. You can be real with people and tell them the struggles that you have. But I still love God. I still love God. And the interesting thing about our faith, and I'll say this. The interesting thing about our faith is our faith that we have in Jesus. Our salvation, watch this, is by faith through what? Grace. So if we really open our eyes and be honest to ourselves, the salvation that we're believing, we have not honestly received yet. We've received it by what? Faith, grace. But you walking around like you a completed work. No, I'm in need of the same God you are. Even up on this platform, I'm in need of the same grace you are. This platform may elevate me from where I'm standing, but please do not put me on your platform, because I am not the mark or the standard. Guess who is? Jesus. You looking at me, you might be disappointed. You might get disappointed. Because guess what? I'm not what? Perfect. And I ain't claiming to be either. I'm trying to help somebody today. Three, what I want to give you is how to be effective witness is be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit makes intercession. The Spirit goes before you. And some of us be trying to witness and just be saying stuff and to be doing stuff and just messing it all up. But if you actually get full of the Spirit will lead you and guide you. The Spirit will tell you when enough is enough. Sometimes we'll say stuff to people and they'll hear us, but because we keep on talking, they stop listening. But when you have the Holy Spirit, he'll let you know, okay, be quiet. Okay, that's enough. Okay, you know what? Today is not a good day. Not today. Go tomorrow. But we have to be willing to be an effective witness and not just trying to witness because we think we're supposed to. The final point that I want to give you is hard. It's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. But you can do it. We all can do it. And that's practice what you preach. The biggest turnoff for an unbeliever is for you to be saying something, doing something, and not being an example for what you're saying. The biggest thing you can do, the mistake you can make, is tell people, I'm ready, to be love and not be loving. The biggest thing you can do is to tell people not to do this, not to do that, and step into the same thing that they do. You have to be careful. I'm not saying that you won't make a mistake. I'm not saying that you're perfect. But the difference is be willing enough to acknowledge the fact that you didn't meet the mark. I know I told you that we're supposed to be loving, and today I wasn't. I'm sorry. That's being real. That's being authentic. I know I told you that we're supposed to forgive, but pray for me because I'm having a real hard time with forgiveness because you don't know what that person did to me. When you can be real, what you feel, and acknowledge that you have a shortcoming in this area. People are able to connect, not with you, but with the God in you. Because the God in us wants us to do right, wants us to walk right, talk right, love right. But we're human. And we all have that feeling, that nasty feeling, when we miss the mark and we don't feel good about our decisions and we don't feel good about our actions. But some of us don't acknowledge it. Some of us don't acknowledge it. And when you don't acknowledge it or announce it, it presents a gospel that is not true, and that is that you're perfect. So if we could be transparent, if we could be authentic, if we could allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, if we could really take time to understand what people are coming from and why they think what they think and why they do this and why they do that, we'll become an effective witness. And when we become an effective witness, we're changed. Our households are changed. Our communities are changed. Our churches are changed. And then our world is change. Not because I'm perfect, because I've decided to be an effective witness. As I close, there was a woman in the Bible that was caught in adultery. The law stated that such behavior that she should be stoned to death. The Pharisees, they brought this woman to Jesus and tried to make a mockery out of him and her. They said, "Jesus, this woman's been caught in adultery. What does the law say?" Jesus answers with love. He says, "He without sin cast the first stone." All of a sudden, everybody took a step back. Where are their accusers now? Some religious folks would say that Jesus broke the law. Jesus didn't break the law. He perfected the law and gave the law what it was missing, and that is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of doing wrong. Love is not boastful. It's not envy. It never fails. It always hopes to see the good in people. And if you want to be an effective witness for Christ, you have to learn how to love people. And I'm not talking about the people who's easy to love. The baby who's all cute and cuddly. The little fur babies. No, I'm talking about people with jacked up attitudes. I'm talking about people that are suffering from things that they can't even explain. I'm talking about people who really, if they be honest, they want to kill themselves. We have to learn how to lead with love. What is the greatest commandment? It's So the first one is, you love your God. Put nobody else before him. And the second is as the first, as the same. So that means it's 1A and 1B. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. So now when you deal with people, when you handle people, when you encounter people, I know it's cliche, but can you treat them how you would want to be treated? Can you love them how you would want to be loved? Can you forgive them how you would want to be forgiven? Can you pray for them how you would want to be prayed for? And when we do this, it becomes contagious. And the love of God is around us. And the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. I'm trying to help somebody. Stop trying to be right and be loving. Stand to your feet. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because you are good. God, we thank you because you first loved us. We thank you so much that it wasn't our anointing, it wasn't our gifting, it was nothing personal about us that made you die for us, but it was the mere fact that you loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in what not perish but have what everlasting life. Thank you, God, for loving on me. Thank you, God, for loving on me when I wasn't lovable. Thank you, God, for loving on me when I was stupid. Thank you, God, for loving on me when I made the wrong decisions and I did exactly what I knew not to do. I'm only here today because you love me. And God, right now, lift your hands right now. Clean our hearts. Clean our minds. Clean our thoughts. Clean our intentions. God, empty us out of everything of the world, oh God. God, and help us, oh God, to reciprocate the love that you've given us. The love that wakes us up, help us give that. The love that helps us, oh God, to do right, help us to give that. The love, oh God, that helps you to give us another chance, help us, oh God, to give that. God, I pray that from this day forward, oh God, that in everything that we do, in everybody that we encounter, that we will encounter them with your love. And I pray for somebody in the room today that thinks you're not good enough. The truth is, you're not. The truth is, you're not. But guess what? He loves you anyway. Help us, oh God, to accept your love. Help us, oh God, to reciprocate your love. Help us, oh God, to be your love. We thank you, and we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While you're on your feet, it may be somebody in the room that says, I don't know the Lord and the pardon of my sins. There may be somebody in the room that says, I've been out of fellowship.